All right, I'm Jake Lawrence in studio with Warner Music singer-songwriter Forrest Black and your assistant Chris. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you guys for taking the time to come down here today and talk to us.
Well, thanks for having us.
All right, let's start things off. Forrest, you have an interesting life. You're a new recording artist on the scene, but you have a history in music. I want to start off with you telling me how you grew up. I mean, you were born in Montreal and eventually moved to different cities, Florida, Calgary, Germany, everything. In a nutshell, tell me how you got here.
How I got here. Well, I think it's always, it's a question I think sometimes I sit and ask myself, to be honest. It's hard to start because I feel quite fortunate, to be honest.
Okay.
And it's a hard story, and I know it's a tough story. And for people listening, it's a story.
Yeah, I read it. It's astonishing. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah. For me, it's my life.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, it's like, you know, if you could look back, if you could like be around maybe like Paul McCartney, and if you could see the moment where he found the bass, like if he walked by a pawn shop or some music store, he saw a bass and he goes, I think I want to play that.
Yeah.
You know, like all the things leading up to get him to that point.
Right.
And similarly for me, the same thing happened. Like looking back now, it's like, of course I do what I do.
Yeah.
All the things built me to do it. So all the stories that I want to tell are my truth.
Right.
You know, so growing up in Montreal and, you know, my dad wasn't, he's a criminal. I mean, just plain and simple, just call it what it was. And my mom was the product of that world. She was a, you know, a poor Irish girl, you know, like, you know, couldn't, you know, trying just to get married young and do what she had to do to survive. And as a result of my dad doing what he did, like eventually went to jail, led me to be homeless. To which point,
how old were you when you found yourself homeless?
13 is when it started.
Wow. On the streets of Montreal?
I was between Montreal and then Ontario.
Okay.
So it was back and forth. And then just started roaming with the wrong people. And I was becoming the product of the environment that I grew up in because it was the only thing I knew, you know, what to do. I didn't know how to do anything else. It wasn't like you go get a job and you do things right. It was like, no, you got to make fast cash and live hard.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's what I grew up in. And I started like fighting to make money and started just like just doing stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Which ultimately my grandmother, who is like my saving grace, I even named my guitar after her.
Which is?
She's Leslie.
Okay.
Yeah. She's my heart and soul. She let me come live with her when I was 15.
Okay.
In LaSalle. And she offered me a gift for no reason other than to just do something kind, and she bought me a guitar.
Oh, wow.
And it changed my life. That was my Paul McCartney moment.
That was your moment, exactly.
I didn't have a clue how impactful that moment would be.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, since then, I wasn't a musician at 15. I could barely play. You know, if I played you the song I wrote when I was 15, it was horrible.
Did you have anyone teach you or show you some basic chords?
I did one lesson, and I wish I remembered the name. I think it was like Academy of Music in LaSalle. So if they're ever listening, you guys were the first, and you probably don't even know it. I did one lesson with them, and like, this was like not the type of person to do lessons. So I spent a long time learning myself.
Okay.
And I was terrible. I was horrible for a long period of time. And then eventually I got my heart broken hard enough that the strings and sounds started to make sense. And I wrote my first love song. And then the rest is, as I say, history.
Okay. And now you moved to, you know, you like you said earlier, you're pretty well raised in Montreal, but you ended up in different cities like in Florida. Calgary. Tell me about Calgary, how you ended up there. And you were involved in music out there as well.
Yeah. So I, that's when I first became a musician.
Okay.
So I was 21 and I was like in Montreal and it was like either really live that world that you don't want to be part of or change.
Or get out of it totally.
Get out.
Go west, young man.
Yeah. And I literally went home and I had a girlfriend at the time and I was like, you know, what should I do? I really didn't know what to do. And I loved this girl. She was the first girl I loved. I was like, whatever you say, I'm going to listen to.
Yeah.
And she said, leave. Like, let's start a new life. And I literally went upstairs, booked a ticket. It was the first plane ticket I could find.
For the both of you to leave?
No, for me. I left. She said she would come, and she never did.
And she never did.
And she broke my heart. And for all the right reasons.
In hindsight, obviously.
Yeah, I have such admiration and respect for her. Because I wasn't in a good way. I was young and impressionable and was dealing with not growing up under the right influences. And so leaving was the best thing that she could have done for me without even knowing it. I mean, how do you make that decision when you're a kid?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I left, man. I made it to Calgary and ended up writing my first song about her, which I didn't know I was doing. I was just freestyling and doing mumbles that I do. And yeah. I was writing songs. And
you did these in open mics in Calgary at some of the bars?
I played the song and people said, like, my friends were like, that's really good. And, yeah. You know, and like, you maybe should play it somewhere. And so I didn't know where to play music. I was like, where do you play music? And so I ended up at a karaoke bar in Calgary.
Oh, okay.
Called the Rusty Cage. And there was a guy who ran it called C-Train. And I begged him. I'm like, can I please play my song on the stage? I didn't know where else to play.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I guess so. It's kind of weird. Yeah. And so next thing you know, I'm playing my song at a karaoke bar. And the whole room stopped. And they listened. And they clapped. It was the first time I felt that. I was like, wow, yeah. That feels really good. And then from there, it just started. I was like, where can I do this again? And then it changed to open mics. And then my own concerts and...
You got connected with other musicians that took you in and did you form a band? Or?
I formed a band years and years ago, but I was just going through that self-discovery process. Yeah, it was pretty wild, man. I mean, to think back about it, it's wild.
Now, tell me about the music that when you were younger, up to that time that you listened to, whether it's your mother playing it, whether you heard it on the radio, tell me about some of the music that affected you.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I have one in particular I'll ask you about before you get to that.
The thing is, I had a strange upbringing. My dad, though he was what he was, didn't really allow me to listen to much music. And it was really strange. So I was limited to his collection. So things like Prince and Elton John and Don Henley, who is like, the Eagles are a big thing for me. But then as I started going through my, trajectory and finding music, like, I remember being, I had a broken leg. I was in the hospital in Montreal at the Children's Hospital here. And I remember every day I would hear, at this time, there was a song, Soul Asylum, Runaway Train.
Love that song.
Got me. Man, it got me. Or Four Non-Blondes, What's Going On, I think it is, right? So, like, all these songs would resonate with me. I was a songs guy. And then, my first tape I ever bought was Bone Thugs and Harmony because I really wanted to hear the song Crossroads.
Yeah.
And it started to form.
Now, how old were you at this time when you had a broken leg in the hospital and this was happening?
That happened, I think I was 9-ish, maybe, when I got my leg broken. I broke my leg twice.
Because the music we listen to as teenagers resonates and sticks with us the rest of our life. If you ask someone my age, what my favorite, the Desert Island thing, if you had 10 albums you could take on a desert island, what would it be? Everybody will always revert back to the songs they heard as a younger person.
Yeah, I mean, Eagles would be number one on my list, to be honest.
What Eagle song?
Desperado.
Now, that one hit you? I mean, it's a fantastic song.
It's, it's a song that, I don't compare my songs to other people's music, but it's the one song that I try to reach.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know, man, I just feel like that song hit me in a way that I can't explain. The lyrics and the way it was sung, like, it allowed me to sing on top of it. I felt really connected to that song in particular, and among many. I mean, then I became a Nirvana fan and then I became then I had Montel Jordan to like Slipknot and Deftones to like, I just kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm just a song guy.
Yeah.
I love good songs. I love songs that make me feel something, that hit me in the core of my soul and make me wake up and go, wow, I needed to hear that.
So when you're writing a song, that's how you're going to try to connect with the audience, that you want them to feel the same way you do when it hits you.
Yeah. Isn't that the point?
Yeah, it is.
Like, I'm trying to seize a moment.
Yeah.
I'm trying to lock a moment of a feeling in time. Mm-hmm. So it's like Desperado. I can listen to that song any day and I will feel that feeling.
Yeah.
It's consistent. It's a constant. It doesn't change.
Yeah.
And I think as a songwriter, that's what I try and do.
Yeah. That's amazing. I don't know if you coined this phrase or somebody did, but when I was reading up, urban folk. Explain that term to me.
So urban folk to us is more along the lines of, we were being asked pretty much day in, day out, who do you sound like?
Yeah.
Because, when you're a new artist and you're new on the scene, everyone's like, okay, well, we don't know you.
Yeah.
So they try and compare you to other people. And for a long time, we would do that. We'd be like, oh, we sound like, and we'd create these like imaginary babies between artists.
Yeah.
Like, we sound like this person if they had a kid with that person and this person. And then we're on a stage, but kind of at like 6 p.m. at sunset. Like, so we'd make up all these weird things. And eventually I was like, what do we sound like? And I was talking to Squid here, Christoph, and I was like, we sound kind of like urban folk. And it's like, I have this big acoustic guitar and it's like, the Johnny Cash guitar, the Elvis guitar, the SJ200. And it's really folky what I do in a sense, but it has a lot of undertones of like a real city. It has a heart of the city in it. And I feel like that. I'm, at the core of me, I'm a Montreal boy. I'm a, just that's me. But, trying to carry the sound of folk. So urban folk. That's what ended up being.
Now, you write as a singer-songwriter. Do you write everything yourself, or do you have someone helping you write? I mean, you have Chris, your keyboard player here. Do they help you with the melodies, with the arrangements?
It's different every time. For a long time, no. For a long time, it was just me.
Yeah.
And I think the first formative songs, like those were really important for me to go through that and like be my own crucible and forge the direction.
Okay.
But nowadays, I've had such great opportunities to work with so many people around the world, and I'm inviting songwriters into my life.
Nice.
Because it's, they're, you know, I once heard that as a songwriter, you're constantly projecting and writing your one heart song over and over again. You're writing different variations of it.
Right.
So when you can sit in a room with someone else who's had a story, sometimes the words take a different life of their own, and you start to be able to play with words in a different way, and you feel something different.
Yeah.
So now it's like, you know, Christoph is a huge part of my life. We're production partners, and, you know, we're able to go in and write music together among many, many other. I've had a brilliant opportunity to write with some of the best people in the world that have changed my life.
Yeah. Well, it expands your sound as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's life-changing.
Yeah.
It's been a gift.
Yeah. How did you end up in Germany? Are you living there now, or
the living question? Everyone asks that, and it's a tough one because if you were to ask me where home is, I'd tell you today it's in my hotel. It seems to be like we're on the road a lot more than we're living. But when I have downtime, I do like to head to Germany.
Yeah,
and that's Christoph is from there.
Also, it's so kind it of a base for
sense.
You now.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense to be there. But I mean, at the heart of me, I'm Canadian. So I mean, and plus, you know, my passport's Canadian, and I'm not allowed to stay in other places for too long. So I'm a Canadian who's, you know, just on an extended vacation in Germany.
How do you like it there?
I love it.
How's the music scene in Germany
Amazing.
For you?
Yeah. When I first went over there touring, they rolled out a red carpet, and I was a nobody.
Oh,
They rolled out a red carpet to a venue that three people show up to.
Yeah.
That's how cool it is.
Yeah.
And then, like, once people start filling venues and they start to know you. It was actually really weird at first, the first time I played to a big room that came for me. Nobody spoke, and clapping was very limited. It felt like they'd give you like three claps, and then they're ready. And I was really upset because I'm an affirmation character. Affirmation. So they were like, I was like, yo, do they hate me? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And I remember my tour manager at the time was like, no, they love you. Like, you could hear pins drop. And it was because they just desperately wanted to hang on to the next word.
Yeah,
like, exactly. What is he going to say next? What's he going to sing next? So it's a pretty surreal experience.
When you're playing live in front of an audience, even in a smaller venue, do you talk to them a lot?
Absolutely.
I mean, between songs.
Absolutely.
What do you say to them? Are you talking about your music? Do you talk about your life? Do you preach about society? What do you do? Like, you know, I think of Springsteen. He's very preachy, for example.
It really depends. I'm not preaching by any means, but I do like to express what I think.
Yeah.
That's the platform that I've been gifted.
Right.
And I feel like it's my responsibility to say something back. People have come for a show, and that's what I would like to give them.
Yeah.
But more so than a show, I try and leave people with something to think about. I'm trying to give them a moment in time with me.
Right.
And so each night is different. And some songs, they feel that in that moment, I feel like certain songs need to be spoken about.
Right.
They need a little bit of extra catering and love. And so I want to tell them the story because I feel as though maybe on that specific night, these people really need to hear that story.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah.
All right. I'm Jake Lawrence. We're talking to Forrest Black. I'm going to have you tell me a story.
Okay.
About your song.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to, you got your keyboard and your guitar here, so we're going to play the song Love Me in a few minutes. But before I get to that, I have my fun questions.
Oh, yes.
Okay. These are my fun questions.
The infamous fun questions.
Yeah. First of all, dead or alive, who would you like to share a stage with?
Johnny Cash.
Oh, that's quick.
Done. Done. At Folsom Prison.
Okay. At Folsom Prison. Okay. That's a great
I think
that'd
be a great picture, both of our SJs together. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Johnny Cash influenced you how musically?
I just think he wasn't the most amazing at what he did. Like Elvis could kick his butt through and through, but he stood up.
Yeah.
He was wild.
Absolutely.
And I think he was a broken man singing his heart's song.
Do you like his last few albums that he came out with? They were really bearing heart and soul.
Yeah, I think I just love everything that he's put out.
Yeah.
In a way, like just he was real. He was authentic and real.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I have like a long list of people, so that just came up.
No, but that was the right answer.
That's what I want to hang out with today.
See, that's why I don't ask those questions before. It came out right away, so it's a true answer. On or off the road, maybe on the road, a guilty pleasure.
Massages.
Could be massages.
Oh, that came out so fast.
See? You're answering it properly.
Every time we go to a city, like that's the thing. Like whenever we can, it's like you get beat up on the road. If you have
need
a chance
to
go see a massage therapist and get someone to beat the heck out of you for a day, man, that's life-changing.
That's right. So we won't talk about happy endings. All right.
No.
I had to go there.
None of that.
All right. My last one before we get to your song. What surprised you most about your career? Something you never thought about or expected to happen?
I never expected a whole audience of people to turn around and sing my song when I fell apart on stage. That got
wow.
me. That got me. That makes me emotional.
That's heavy. That's moving.
That got me. I fell apart on stage crying because I was singing a song about my mom.
Really?
And I couldn't hold up the words. And I watched a whole audience of people take over. That changed my life. That was the moment I knew.
And where did that?
This is something I wanted to do.
Where did that happen?
In Calgary, at the Gateway.
Wow.
At a venue called the Gateway. Yeah, I watched a whole room of 400 people take over for me. And I realized that it wasn't about me on stage. It was about us together.
Yeah.
That was the moment they gave to me. So I've been trying to give them back the whole time.
Yeah. It's all about giving back.
That's it.
Always is. I love to hear that. All right. You have a song. We're playing the song here on K103. It's called Love Me. It's your first single.
Yeah.
Is it an EP, a full album?
It's an EP that will be coming out.
That'll be coming out.
Yeah.
Okay. Forrest, tell me about the song Love Me. I read a little bit about it. I found it very striking, very moving. Just tell the audience.
Nothing surface with me. Everything goes deep. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, just off the top.
Love Me was the moment that I made the phone call to break someone's heart with all the best
intentions.
You
made the phone call.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's a hard move to make.
I had my heart broken a lot, which I thought was the worst feeling I'd ever felt until I had to break
someone else's heart.
And I would gladly have my heart broken for the rest of my life to never have to do that again.
Did you do this because it wasn't this relationship, I'm assuming, wasn't meant to be and you knew it wasn't? And in the long run, you felt it'd be good for the both of you?
You know what? When you're holding someone else's heart in your hands and you know that it doesn't fit,
right?
But you try and lie to yourself. I think a lot of us do that because none of us want to feel alone.
Yeah.
So you lie to yourself to convince yourself. That I can go through this. I can do this. I can fit this into my puzzle piece.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. And I felt like I was doing a really big disservice to her heart.
Yeah.
Because I knew that someone else out there would appreciate it.
Can I ask you, this person that you're talking about, are you in contact with them today?
No.
No,
I don't talk to her. And it's not for a lack of want, but I think it's what's best.
Oh, okay.
I think it's what's best.
Can't go back there.
No, it's why I opened that for her.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, I mean, I coming across as though I'm chivalrous, but like it's not chivalrous in a way. It's just the reality of what it's like not to feel love for somebody.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can't be in love. You can't force yourself to love somebody.
No.
I loved her and I love her, but I'm not in love with her. That's the best way. It's not about chivalry. It's about honesty in that. And being with her and lying to myself was the most dishonest I was.
Yeah.
It was awful.
It reminds me of the song, Two Out of Three Ain't Bad.
I don't know that.
Meatloaf.
Okay.
I want you, I need you, but I'm never going to love you.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt,
All right.
She's paid me back by making me, you know, allowing me to write this song, really, because now I have to play it, you know, for the rest of my life. So I never get to forget about her. So
there you go. All right, Forrest Black, along with Chris. You got your guitar. We got a keyboard.
Yeah.
This is the song Love Me.
It's Love Me.
I thought I knew myself. I knew the moment that you left. Said, do you love me, babe? We used to play on words. Now you give silence back. Heartbreaks later when you hold a man who never gave a damn. Said, I don't know what it's like to break a broken heart, and I ain't proud of it. If you don't love me, let me know. If you don't love me, baby, love me, love me, love me, baby, why won't you let me go? Friday nights, they always seem so bright, but now I lose my way. You see, the pain gets deeper every step I take through each passing memory. Hugs and kisses dancing on his arm, his hand on your back. See, I still love you, babe. I'm having trouble moving on, 'cause I can't get you back. If you don't love me, let me know. If you don't love me, baby, love me, love me, love me, baby, why won't you let me go? If you don't love me, let me know. If you don't love me, baby, love me, love me, love me, baby, why won't you let me go? The queen of spades, she dug a shallow grave to keep her diamond sharp. What you doing to me, baby? Is this house of cards or the club for broken hearts? Body's aching as I lay awake, and there ain't no coming back. Baby, the only peace of mind that I could ever find is when I'd hear you say it back. If you don't love me, let me know. If you don't love me, baby, love me, love me, love me, baby, why won't you let me go? If you don't love me, if you don't love me, let me, gotta let me know. If you don't love me, baby, love me, love me, love me, baby, why won't you let me go? If you don't love me, if you don't love me, let me, gotta let me know. If you don't love me, baby, love me, love me, love me, baby, why won't you let me go? If you don't love me, let me know. If you don't love me, baby, love me, love me, love me, baby, why won't you let me go? If you don't love me, let me know. If you don't love me, baby, love me, love me, love me, baby, why won't you let me go? If you don't love me, baby, love me, love me, love me, baby, why won't you let me go?
That's very good.
Thank you very much.
Beautifully done. Thank you. Forrest Black, Chris, I'd like to thank you guys for coming in, and we want to see you again for sure.
Thank you so much for having us. This is our first Canadian interview, so.
Oh, really?
You're first.
Oh, I'm honored. That's so exciting. I love that.
Thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
I'm Jake Lawrence. It's Forrest Black and Chris. Thank you, guys.
Cheers.